I have a lot of things I want to share, but I want to show you the pictures. I'll show more photos, pictures, and use less words. And keep an eye on them, and then I'm going to share with you what's happening in India and what God is doing there. Can you believe it's been 40 years since we have been doing this work? We're getting old. India has 1.2 billion population, more than 1.2 now, and 83% Muslims, 83 Hindus, only less than 4% Christians. This is our church at Mori, at our headquarters. I don't know, it's too much lighting.
Turn the lights down back here.
Yeah. This is our church at Mori, and 90% of the gathering was once Hindus. They became Christian through Hope Ministries. And this is just a recent photo from like a Christmas service. And our children were in a candlelight service for Christmas. And this is also a Christmas service at our Hope. We have 7 children homes. This is one of the homes. And every time we go, sponsors send gifts and we take them, and it's very hard to carry them, but they are very happy to have them. And you can see all those. This is our girls' dorm, much needed place for the girls, and we just finished that at our headquarters. And this is inside. We have a nice bunk beds for all of them and a nice clean place. And the girls really love this place and keep it clean, spick and span. And this is the front side. This young man came when I was there and introduced himself to me and said, I was raised in your children's home and I'm working in Arab countries. I have a good job, and most important thing he said was, he became a Christian. He was a Hindu, he became a Christian, and he's attending church now. Praise God. I don't know if you ever saw a banana, some of you, and this is how it looked like. This is from our campus. This is one of the other children homes in the jungle home. This is in the jungle. There are about 75 children live in this home. Most of them come from the tribal families. And they have a nice place for dining. And this is their house where they live. This is a kitchen and dining we just finished a couple of years ago. And these are some of the other buildings. And this is a church building we built. And along with our children, the villagers come and worship there. This is our school in the jungle area, from K through 5th. After 5th, they come to our headquarters to go to high school. These are the restrooms we just finished in the jungle. And that's my brother Joseph showing the restrooms. Deaf and mute children's home. We have a deaf and mute children. There are about 20 of them, and they are disowned by the families, and now they are living with us. This is another children's home in one of the biggest cities. There are about 50 children there. These students were graduated from high school this year and now going to college. These are from our children's home. These are from our school. These students graduated and now going to college. They were in a picnic. We have 300 evangelists that work with us. We support them, and they are spread in 400-mile area. This is a group from one of the areas. and we buy them bicycles are the main transportation for them, and drums they use for a musical in the when they conduct gospel meetings, and also the lights they use when they travel to the remote areas for lighting at night to preach the gospel. There are two American pastors came to India, this pastor May, and conducted inductive Bible study classes. These are from California. About 200 pastors gathered. And this is a new area. We conducted a crusade, not a usual place. It is awesome to see a lot of people came to know Jesus through this. And we have 12 American youth from Canton, Ohio, came to conduct inductive Bible study classes, VBS, Vacation Bible School. This is the VBS class. And second one from the right, far left, is Jesse, our son. He's a drummer. And these young people did awesome. The kids were so happy when they hear them sing and tell the stories and mimes and all that. They were so loud, we have to put our fingers in our ears to close our ears. They were so loud and they were so happy. There were about 500 of them. These young people also provided food for people with leprosy. There were about 60 of them. They provided food for all of them. They served the food. And he's the team leader. His name is Daniel. And the man was healed of leprosy, and he has no leprosy now. This is a car shed. We converted into kitchen and dining facility for another children's home. They are working on that, and it's almost finished. It's not using, they are not using yet. We have a Christian school and a college, and we have 500 students that come from the surrounding villages, and most of them are from the Hindu families. We also have a college, teachers training college. If somebody wants to be a teacher, they have to come here to get the training and the certification. And they were celebrating Independence Day. And these are some of the college students. This is one of the classrooms, 10th grade students. This is a computer lab and a kindergarten class. And in the evening, they go home. We have school buses, school vans, and they go home and come back in the morning. This is a college dorm. These girls are from the refugee families, very poor, and they're not supported by the state. So they came and asked me to help them to go to college by staying at our children's home here. So they're happy to be here to go to college. These are from the tribal families. This is a refugee camp, and I'll explain to you a little bit later. And this is the building we bought 2 years ago for the refugee kids to come and stay here and go to college. And it was so crowded, so we started adding another floor, and this is almost finished. There are 10 students staying in this place. We traveled quite a bit in the jungle villages, tribal villages, and we have to put our vehicle on this barge, and it's very small. It's hard to put this vehicle on it, but we made it. This is our buggy on the left side. This is one of the pastor's house. He invited us to go into the house to pray, and we hardly could stand inside of this house. And that's how many, many people live like this. This is another house. And when we travel through the jungles, we conduct gospel meetings in different places, under the trees and wherever we can find the place. We were meeting with some village leaders in the tribal area where we drilled borewell 2 years ago. And they are still using it. I was so happy to see that. And it changed their lives. How would you like to carry like that 3 parts with water? And they walk 1 mile, 2 miles like that to carry the water. This is how they make living, raising goats and cattle and sell them. And we've been drilling borewells in the remote jungle areas. When I go to these places to dedicate, I wonder how they ever could get this rig up there. And sometimes they make a makeshift road, these villagers, to get these rigs up there because they are desperate for water. Once we change the drill the borewells, their lives are being improved, and it opened doors for our evangelists to go and preach the gospel. That's how it looks, hand pump. And this is last year when we were there, we were dedicating this. And every place we dedicate, we have a gospel meeting, singing and praising and sharing the gospel. And here I was. This is Jaya. That's how she carries water all the time, even here. These people walk 1 mile, 2 miles to carry water like that up and down the hills. And they use the gourd also for carrying water. And this is a tribal village where we drilled a borewell, and it opened up doors for our evangelists to go there. And they celebrated Christmas in this village for the first time in their entire life there. And it was so awesome to see that. And this is a pastor's house and a church. I'm going to share a little bit about this family, how God called them to go to the jungle area to preach. And this is our kids, Jesse and Stacy. And they are both in college, second year in college. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we praise you. We exalt your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for this privilege to come before you. Thank you for the privilege to worship with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask you to anoint me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and give me words to share with them. Whatever you want to share with them, Lord, help me to be obedient to speak that word, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to continue to bless this congregation, Lord. Release the people from the east, west, north, and south, and bring them here so they can all worship together and worship you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share a little bit about Jesse and Stacy. And Jesse and Stacy, they are in a second year in college. And I was talking to Stacy this morning while we were coming here. But she has been planning to take a national test in science to become a doctor. The students who want to be doctors, they write this test. This is going to be on May 5th, this coming May. She will be writing the test. There are probably more than a million students will be writing this test. Whoever gets the merit the state will pay a scholarship to pay for their medical school. And Stacy is working hard, and she said, I'll give a try. I want to be a doctor, and I want to help our people. And so keep her in your prayers. And Jesse is more interested in working with the ministry than going to college. And I've been encouraging him, hey, finish the college first. Then you can work with the ministry. But every chance he gets, he travels with my brother to these jungles and different places, different meetings. And you can see, that's the first time I saw him holding the Bible. And I thought, he's telling me something. He sent me this picture recently. And pray for him. And I want him to be in the ministry, in the Lord's work. There is no more joy than that, to see my children serve the Lord. And pray for him also, so God will anoint him and use him. He's already doing a lot of work for the ministry, traveling and taking pictures, and helping in the church sound system, and also he plays the drums. So pray for them. When we were conducting the gospel meetings, like this is a new area, right beside the highway, our campus is, and during the day we have a inductive Bible study classes, this pastor was teaching, and during the night we have a crusade. And I told the pastors, in India now, Americans are not allowed to preach outdoors. But they can preach inside of the buildings, but not outdoors. I told them, this is the story here. I don't know what we do. If you want to share, I will give you the time. And they said, yeah, we would like to share. And we have some guest speakers that came to speak in that crusade. We were all sitting there. And the pastor looked at me and said, are these Americans going to speak here? I said, yes. Don't you know they are not allowed to speak? I said, yes. And I said, we'll see what God will do. And I gave them the time, and they were preaching, and I was translating. And one of our staff members came and said, the police are here. Up and down the road, they are driving. But they didn't come to our campus. And I was praying, God, don't let them stop us. And all 3 days, they preached. And we have not just inside like this, or just a small sound system, but it's like the sound system we put on the rooftops, and we tie them to the trees. And people can hear 2 miles around. And they can hear these Americans preaching, and they can hear the translation. But the police were up and down the road, but nobody came, and God allowed us to preach the gospel. We praise the Lord for that. There are so many people came forward to give their lives to Jesus. Many people who have been asking us to conduct the crusade in that area for probably more than 10 years. We had the meetings there 10 years ago, and they've been asking us, when are you going to have the meeting again? When are we going to have the crusade again? And this last year, God allowed us to go there, and God did awesome things. When we conduct these crusades, we see God shows up. And we see a lot of miracles take place. And some areas we saw the blind just received the sight right in front of our eyes. Their eyes were open. Lame just jumped up and walked. Cancers, leprosy people, all kinds of people God touched and healed them. It's not anything because we are special. God wants to show his power to those people. When they are touched, when they are healed, there is no turning back. They can see the difference between the Hindu gods they worship and the true God we worship. So they give their lives to Jesus. We see this all the time, and we praise the Lord for that. And there is a lot of harassment. The persecution is taking place in India. You probably heard that. And a lot of Christians are being killed. Churches are being burnt. Last year when I was there, a pastor brought me a picture of a showed me a picture of a pastor that was beheaded, and his head was thrown one place and body was one place. And later one of our pastors told me so-and-so of a pastor, one of our pastors, Hope Ministries pastors, were put on a hit list to be killed by extremist groups. So he's in hiding today, even still hiding, and at night times he is going from place to place and still preaching the gospel. They wanted to kill him because he is preaching the gospel. Pray for them. And we've been drilling bore wells for the last 5-6 years. So far we probably drilled 40 some bore wells. These pastors travel to these villages. Sometimes they are not welcome. Sometimes they are chased out, kicked out, beaten sometimes, but they still go back. And when they go there, they look for a need, a house with the sick persons, people. And they look for the need, what the needs of these people. And then they come and tell us, these people are in need of water, clean water. So we help them to go and drill a bore well. When we drill a bore well, they can see, these people ask us, we've been asking our officials, leaders, for a long time to help us, provide us clean water, but they haven't done it. And we don't even know you. How come you come and spend that much money to drill a bore well for us? And we tell them, we love Jesus, and Jesus told us to love others. Amen. And that's why we are here, to provide you water and also to share with you about this true God. And after we drill the bore wells, their health's been improved, and also they are open to hear the gospel. And we've been starting churches in those villages because there is a lot of people coming to know the Lord. The wife and husband, I showed the picture, and he was working in a small town, preaching the gospel. One day he felt that God called him to go to the remote jungles to preach the gospel. And he told his wife, I feel that God wants us to go to the remote jungles to preach the gospel. And his wife said, okay, if God is showing you, if God is calling you, let's go. And they packed a bag, a few clothes, and they took their 5-year-old son and started walking. When the evening came, they went to some house and asked them, can you give us a place to stay here tonight? And they said, yeah, you can stay on the porch. They stayed on the porch. And the next day, before they leave, they started sharing the gospel with this family. And that ended up like 3-4 days sharing the gospel. And the man of the house became Christian. He was a Hindu. He gave his life to Jesus. And then they ended up staying there more than a month in that house, and going around and sharing the gospel with other people. When this man followed them to let them know, hey, I accepted Jesus, and he was supporting them. And afterwards, God said, I want you to move out from here. I want you to go to the jungles. And here they packed up their bag and started going. When they went to one area, God said, this is the area I want you to stay and preach the gospel. And they stayed at somebody's hut, the huts I showed you like that. And they were preaching the gospel, and people began to see and began to hear the gospel and began to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And then they had a problem. They needed a place to worship. By the way, I really like your church, beautiful church. And if you want to have a problem, keep doing the same type of worship. That's awesome. And you will have problem holding the people in. And you have to expand the walls. And that's an awesome worship. God is glorified here this morning. And they were having a problem, no place for them to gather. And he talked to this man on the way. They stayed and he became a Christian. This is what's happening. And a lot of people accepted Jesus. We need a place to worship. But we can't put up any shed, any place, because this is all federal land. All these people around, they were all from the next state. They left their state because of persecution and some problems. They left the place and crossed the border and came into our state. When they came into our state won't help them because they don't belong to that state. So they are hiding in these mountains and in the small shacks. And this pastor told me, this man who became a Christian said, I have a piece of land close to this federal land. I will give that to the church. You can build a church and build a small house in that. That's where that small houses I showed you. And they have a small thatched roof hut so they can gather and worship. And then this pastor ran into one of our pastors working in that jungle areas, and he told them, hey, we have a lot of problem. These tribal people don't have any water. They're walking a mile, 2 miles to get a pot of water. And I heard that Hope Ministries is drilling bore wells. Can you talk to your leaders and help us drill a bore well in our place? So they told us, and we provided the funds, and they drilled the bore well. And when I was there last time, we went there. We had to travel through the woods, off-road, and it rained before we left, and our vehicle was going like this, slippery, and we thought we never could make it to get there. But praise God, we were there. And when I went there, I saw no houses. I said, why in the world drill the bore well when there is no people here? They said, you look around these mountains, there are a lot of people living in there. Those are all refugees. And they are going 1 mile, 2 miles to get water, dirty water. One place, they brought me a glass of water. I thought they were bringing me a coffee. That's how the water looked like. And we drilled the bore well, and they came over there, and we all have a prayer service, sang, and then shared the gospel with them. And their lives are changed forever. Drinking this clean water. We're not only providing the clean water for them to drink, and we are giving them the living water. Amen. Praise the Lord. And their lives will never be the same. And we have 7 children homes. There are 400 children that live in our homes. And as I shared with you, the young man that came and introduced himself to me, there are so many young people like that. Since 40 years we've been doing this, a lot of these children that grew up, married and have children and have jobs. Some became political leaders and nurses, teachers, and some became pastors and evangelists. And every time we go to some place to preach, we hear somebody come and say, I was raised in your children's home. I'm a choir leader now in this church, and I'm a pastor. That gives me a joy to see how God is transforming the children's lives. And we have this 300 pastors that are working in 400 mile area. Most of them use bicycles. Nowadays, some people have mopeds, motorcycles, and these pastors go into these villages every day to share the gospel. They're not just the pastors on Sundays. During the weekdays, they're evangelists. They go out and preach the gospel, and when they become Christian, they start churches. We started over 150 churches in the remote areas, and God is giving, like a couple of weeks ago, I woke up with a dream, and God was telling me, I want you to focus on these tribal areas. Because there are so many churches in other places, so many pastors preaching the gospel, but not many people want to go to these tribal villages because these tribal villages are controlled by extremist groups. They cause lots of problems. Last time when I was going through the jungles, we are going to dedicate a bore well. And when we were going there, like halfway, we have to stop at one of our pastor's house. And the next day, we go from there to the destination. The next morning, we were all ready and ready to go. The pastor brought me the newspaper and said, take a look at this. There were 50 policemen and others were killed by extremist groups. The same place where we were going that day. And he said, do you still want to go? I said, give me a minute. And when they say, we're going to kill you, they followed up. And I said, let's go. But these pastors were traveling with us, scared to death. Later on, they said, scared to death, sitting in the vehicle. They don't know what's going to happen. We were traveling, and one place we were stopped, and they said, where are you going? We're going to so-and-so place to dedicate a bore well. He said, it's very dangerous. You can't go there. I said, okay. And we were driving, and we were coming close to the place where we drilled the bore well, and I was driving. There was a group of men in a camouflage clothes carrying machine guns and walking in the street in front of us, towards us. And our pastor said, we are in trouble. And while we were driving, they were coming on the side. When we came closer, they stepped into the middle of the road and stopped us. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We were scared. And they came to my window. I rolled the window down. And they looked at us and said, praise the Lord. I thought, what is an awesome word to hear. We were scared to death. They said, few months ago, we were at your crusade, and we recognized your vehicle with the logo, and we wanted to say hi. That's why you could have given us a heart attack. We didn't know they were good or government soldiers, but they are from the state. We were so happy to hear them saying those things. And our pastor said, we are alive. They kidnap and kill, claim ransom, and if they don't get the ransom, they kill them. That's what's happening. There are a lot of people are being killed. And just a couple of week ago, our son told me they went to the jungle areas to dedicate this well, and they stopped car one place, and the people, young people came and took them in motorcycles. There are 10 more miles way deep into the woods. They can't take and go in the car because these rebel groups recognize the vehicles and they can come and do whatever they want to. So they came and took them in motorcycles, on motorcycles. And when they were dedicating the well, the pastor said, to Jesse, there are some rebel leaders here. There were four rebel leaders. And Jesse said, I was scared to hear that. But they said, they are from this area and they are happy because we drilled the bore well. And we know this pastor will go back and share the gospel with these people, and God can do miracles there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And pray for us and pray for India. There are still millions of people need to hear, and your prayers and support make a big difference. Together we can make a big difference in this dark land. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We are very familiar with these stories, and you have a great pastors here, so I don't need to teach to a choir, and you hear the messages all the time, but I feel I should share a little bit about this. And here Jesus just started his ministry, and he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two men fishing, Peter and Andrew. And Jesus stopped and looked at them and said, hey, come follow me. And he said another word, I will make you fishers of men. First he said, come, leave whatever you have there, nets, boat. And he went further and saw two other brothers, James and John, and he said the same thing, follow me. Interesting thing is, none of them asked any questions, seems like. Right. Where are we going? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? None of them asked any questions. I believe they heard about Jesus through John the Baptist. And they thought, it's a high honor to follow Jesus, to be called by Jesus to follow him. And they immediately left everything. They didn't think anything about how we are going to support our families. And Jesus called them to follow him. Following means live with him, walk with him, talk with him, learn from him, watch how he lives, how he does the ministry. He wanted them to be disciples. He was discipling them for 3.5 years. And they rejoiced when they saw Jesus touched and healed a blind man. A blind man walked. They were so happy. A lame jumped up and ran, walked. They were so happy. When Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people, if you count the children and women, they were rejoiced. But following Christ is not always easy. It's scary at some times. Right. It's scary. We think following Jesus is everything. We get all the riches, wealth, and nice cars, nice homes. Name it and claim it. But it's not like that, real life. Sometimes we have to go through persecution. We have to sacrifice our lives. Sacrifice everything we have. And these disciples knew all this. Jesus once said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head down. They were following their leader wherever he is going. They were sleeping in the mountains, under the trees. Wherever they find the place, they were sleeping. They were eating whatever they are getting. But they were happy to follow Jesus. They surrendered everything to Jesus. No matter what happens, we will follow you. Jesus said, any one of you desire to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. What does it mean, take up your cross? It's a death. Actually, we see the cross represents death there. But Jesus made it into a beautiful thing. And cross represents we have to die to ourselves. No longer us living. It is Jesus that lives in us. No matter what happens to us, our pastors, 300 pastors, most of them were once Hindus. They sacrificed goats and chickens to the idols. When they heard the gospel through one of the evangelists that go to these places and they give their lives to Jesus, then God calls them, I want you to go and preach. Jesus has a plan for these evangelists here, these disciples here. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That means I want to make you into an evangelist. I want to make you into a preacher. I want you to go and preach. Just like we bring fish out of the ocean, we have to bring people out of the world to the kingdom of God. That's what God is calling us. I will make you fishers of men. Whoever follow God, we have to deny ourselves and trust in God. They trusted in Jesus and followed him, followed wherever he went. And before he was ascended to heaven, Jesus said, the final command, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we are called. That's what God wants us to do. When we are disciples, A disciple is the one that sits at the master's feet and learn and do everything he learned and imitate. We must imitate Jesus. We must walk like him. We must talk like him. And we must show love like Jesus. We must show compassion on the people. When Jesus saw the sick and suffering, he had compassion on those people. That's the kind of heart that God wants to put in our heart. He wants to replace the rocky heart, stony heart, and he wants to replace that with the fleshy heart. Jesus said, if anyone follows me, he will be a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Our lives has to be transformed into the image of God. When people see us, they have to see us. That's what God is expecting us. We can't be like that, but we have to try to walk like him. We have to have the compassion. And like when we see these people in the jungle areas without food and without water, we just go there and say, Jesus loves you. They say, get out of here. But when you show the love of Jesus and dare to go to these places where it's a danger awaiting for you, and then people see these people are not ordinary people, something different with these people. That's what God is wanting us. And when we follow, you never know where he leads. Sometimes we may have to go places that we never been before. We have to do things that we never done before. Always a new thing. And when we are led by the Holy Spirit, he will lead us and guide us. Like a week ago, we were in Florida. All of a sudden, I remembered I need to check my passports and visas. And this is the first time we ever took our passports with us. I never take them with me. And I opened my bag and checking the passports and visas, and I found out Jaya's visa was expired. And I said, let's leave tomorrow, go back to Canton. And we immediately left the next morning and came back and went to Cleveland and applied for it. And they sent me like an appointment for a biometrics for Jaya. They gave the appointment for 25th of this month, and we are leaving 26th. If we are one day late coming back, that appointment will be after 26th. And that's how God leads us. And we'll be leaving for India 26th, and we'll be there for 5 months. Please pray for us. I'll be traveling quite a bit to the jungle areas, tribal areas, drilling more bore wells, and we'll be having a lot of meetings. And pray that God will keep us safe and protect us, and most importantly, use us for his glory. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.